Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
The power of love. John chapter 13, I want you to turn there real quick. John chapter 13, verse 1. Because tonight I want to show you some things really quick, if you can just hang with me. I want to show you how much Jesus loves you. Do y'all want to know? And tonight, the first part of this, I just want to tell you that he loves those that serve him. How many of you serve Jesus? You love Jesus. You want to do what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. Come on. How many of us in here serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. John chapter 13, verse 1, and I'm going to read just a little bit of this, so I hope you're ready. Are you there? You got your Bibles? John chapter 13, verse 1, many of us know this story, but I'm just going to give you something. Are you ready? Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Can I stop right here for a second? Do you realize that if you serve him, he loves you? I'll find somebody else to preach to over here real quick, because a lot of times we focus so much on when we miss God instead of, nobody's going to help me, all right. We focus on when God tells us to do something and we don't do it, compared to when we hear the voice of the Master and we move. You need to realize he loves you whether you make it or not. I'm going to come down here because I can tell already I'm going to have to come down here. Peter denied him 3 times, but he still loved him. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There was times when 2 of his disciples looked over at him and said, "Why don't you just call down thunder from heaven and lightning from heaven and destroy them all?" And the Lord wouldn't do it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. The times when there wasn't but 12 left out of 70 that used to be with Jesus. And he looked at his 12, he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And the 12 said, "No, we would not leave you for nothing." Are you seeing why Jesus loved those that was with him? Do you realize that when you're with Jesus, his love for you brings you to the next part? How many of you still got your Bibles open? Go to verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil had now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing," verse 3, this is something I want you to underline, because this is the greatest part of this whole story. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God." Verse 4. Before I read it, I got to share something with you. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Man, don't rush me. I'll get there. Hopefully. He's sitting at the table. He knows that the devil had put it in the heart of Judas to betray him already. But he still sat there because he was waiting on something. Even Jesus had to wait on some things. Y'all not saying anything. Can I just help you? Do you know how anxious Jesus is to come back? I really believe that there's many times that Jesus looks over at the Father and goes, "Can I get him now? Please, can I go get him now? Look, they've been through enough. Can I just go get my bride now? Can I just go get him? Look, there's somebody that's dying right now. Father, can I just go get them right now?" Even Jesus had to wait. But then when he knew that the devil had done his job, he knew that all power was now released to him. Now, are you ready for this? How much does Jesus love you? I'm so glad you asked. Because the next thing Jesus did was something that is beyond my thinking. And I can't grab a hold of it. If someone who has all power and all authority, why would they sit there and do this? In verse 4, he rises up from supper and he lays aside his garments and he takes a towel and he girds himself. And after that, he poured water in a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. How many of you remember that part? Can I just help everybody here? Don't just read your Bible, read your Bible. Can I give you a nugget right here? Are you ready? Are you ready for something that'll blow your mind? You realize that right in the verse before that, he realized and knew that all power on heaven and earth had been given to him. And as soon as he knew that, the first thing he did was rise up. And he took off his garment. Let me help you. When you look up the word garment, it says he took off his mantle. He took off all that was just given to him. No, you're not. No, you, church, I need to hear you. Listen, are you ready? You got to. You got to hear this. Are you ready? I'm getting so excited I can barely talk. You ready? He loves you so much that at that moment, he sits there and takes off the mantle, the very thing that had just been given to him. And he lays it to the side and he reaches over and grabs a servant's towel and wraps it around himself because he loves you so much that you don't even realize that what you're going through right now, he's already been in the middle of what you're going through. Church, oh, you need to hear me right now. You may be feeling a certain way. You may be having sickness and symptoms in your body. You may be in a bad place, but you got one who said, hold on just a second. Let me set this right here, and let me get that towel wrapped around me because I love them so much that I'm going to bend down, and I'm going to begin to serve them. Oh, my God. God, that's a lot of love right there. There's so much love there that it breaks my heart because I look at my Jesus and I go, but I'm not worthy of that kind of love. There's times when I sit back and I go, God, I don't understand. You know my past. You know what I've done. You know what I did just 5 minutes ago. You know that thought. You know that person that made me mad. You know that offense. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing in church. Oh, come on. See, today there's too many people put themselves on a pedestal and they put on a religious face and they get up behind a pulpit and they try to tell you how to live, but they don't take the mask off and they don't tell you what life is really like. No, excuse me, but I face what you face and even double fold. But I've learned to stay at the feet of my master. I've learned to know that when he pours out his love, I say, Lord, here's my feet. Wash them. Lord, let my walk be clean. God, I pray that when something causes me to be defiled, I'm quick to repent. That's how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he's just waiting there for you. Do you realize he washed the feet of one of his disciples that said, don't wash my feet? I'm going to help somebody right here. Lord, watch this. The very one that said, don't wash my feet, was the very one that would betray him. And what did Jesus tell him? If you don't let me wash your feet, then you're not a part of me. Can I help the church? Are you ready? If you won't allow Jesus to do what Jesus needs to do in your life, you're not a part of him. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you just said that from the pulpit. Let me be truthful, saints of God. Are you hearing me tonight? We're so quick to go and ask him for things. But when he says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, you reject him and say, don't wash my feet. No, we need to be the ones that say, Lord, here's my feet. Here's my feet, Lord. Lord, please consecrate my walk. Lord, please make me holy. Lord, please help me to walk it out. Lord, please let me be worthy of the anointing. Lord, please help me to walk as a righteous man and woman of God. My God, have mercy. Is everybody okay? He loves you that much. Look at somebody and say, he loves you that much. It blows my mind. Is this making sense to anybody? Is this blowing your mind right now? I've been chewing on this for 2 days. And every time I chew on it, I get humbled. See, it doesn't puff me up, it humbles me. Because I realize that his love is beyond what I can think. Oh, come on now, y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on, exceedingly abundantly above all could I ever ask for, hope for, or even believe him for. Come on, we need to realize that his love for you is so astronomical that we celebrate this season when he said, you know what, I don't need streets of gold. I don't need gates of pearl. You know what? I don't even need to be close to my father right now. I love them enough that I'll have to give it all up and go get in a stinky, dirty manger to get the ones that I love. Now, how many of you know love will go into places? Oh, y'all ain't. Y'all going to make me preach. Love will put you in places and take you places that you know that you would never stick your big toe in. Love will cause you to sacrifice. But love will also take you places you can never go yourself. I dare you to look at somebody and say, there's power in love. See, can I just say this to everybody here? It's not time to give up. It's just time to reach up. One more time, Holy Spirit, just for you. It's not time to give up. It's just time to reach up. See, for too long, people's been throwing you a lifeline, and the Lord's even been throwing you a lifeline. It's even hit you in the head. Quit hitting me. How many times the Lord slapped you upside? No, y'all don't want me to go there real quick. How many times the Lord give you one of those good whoosh? And all you do is just stop it. And the whole time he's there. I have what you need. I have not just what you need, but I want to take you out of this pit so that you can see that there is more. Can I just keep going? Is everybody still with me? Can you handle one more? Go to Luke chapter 19. I've got to show you something right here because I've been chewing on this one. And the Holy Spirit's still revealing some things. Luke chapter 19. When you get there, I want you just to say amen. Y'all are fast. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Now, don't turn your head off when I start reading it. Because I promise you, I'm about to show you something. Are you ready? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, or he was the main man of all the tax collectors, the ones everybody hates. Don't say nothing. You know when the IRS knocks on your door, you're dreading it. Oh, so none of y'all had that. Well, glory to God. And he sought to see Jesus and who he was and could not for the press. He could not get through the people because he was little of stature. He was a short person. I pick on some of my staff because they look at me and say, well, I'm short because God made me and knew that I was perfected at this level. And I walk by and stick my cup on their head. Watch this. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. Oh, I'm going to preach here in a minute. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Who is they? Everybody else. saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord in front of him, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, how many of you know that's love? Now, can we go back to verse 1? Y'all don't mind if I just preach a little bit? Can I preach a little bit? Go back to verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You got verse 1. Go to verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, I've told you many times before that when a name is in the Bible, it's for a specific reason. Because there's many times in the Bible things happen and nobody's name is named. And there's a reason why here tonight that I had to show you this passage of Scripture. Are you ready? There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the tax collectors, the publicans, and he was very rich. Can I just stop here for a second? Can I just tell you about Zacchaeus? Is this all right? Zacchaeus was hated for the job that he did. I don't see in Zacchaeus' character where he was mean or nasty or did things on purpose, because he wouldn't have said to Jesus what he did. But he was in a place that put him. Oh, let me talk to somebody who's in a place where you just got put. Anybody ever just got stuck in a place that somebody put you in? Or you got stuck in? Y'all ain't saying nothing, okay? Nobody can change the way you were raised. You were stuck. Oh, yeah, my God, have mercy, okay? You were placed in there. It was a God's plan to put you there for a reason. But let me explain to you what Zacchaeus means. Are you ready? When you look up the word Zacchaeus, it really means pure. Zacchaeus, from his birth, God gave the name to his parents, pure. Can I help you? When God gives you a name and he puts a name on you, your name goes with you the rest of your life. When God sees you, he sees pure. Okay, I see pure. Whenever Jesus is walking down the road, can I help everybody right here? Jesus called him by name. I'm messing y'all up right here. I'm messing some of y'all up big time. Because Jesus looked up in the tree. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I ain't got time. Are you ready? Watch this. He looks up in the tree and he calls him by name. Pure, come down here. See, I don't care what everybody else calls you. I don't care what everybody else has labeled you as, or everybody else has forced you to be in, or the box that they tried to place you in, or your past, or what you've got going on in your life. Can I help you? All right. You got a name that God gave to you, and it means something. See, when I look up Eric, it means a ruler in peace. From the time before I was born, my mom was, it was sitting there. She went, "I'm going to have a son, and his name's going to be Eric." And she didn't know until I was married to my wife and looked my name up. Because she said, "The Lord said to call you Eric." And on the day of my wedding day, my mom brings out this title of Chrissy's name, Warrior. You wonder why sometimes you get around my wife and she cuts you. Then you just get sent over to the ruler in peace. I pick up the pieces. I'm just picking. We're a tag team. Jesus is walking down the road. Can you get there? Do you remember that verse? Can you get to the verse that just says that, just calls him by name? Hold on. I just got to take a minute while they're doing that and just ask you, how many of you he's calling you by name? The world's not calling you by that name. But the Lord is calling you by your name. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Can I just help everybody? Before you ever get to the place that Jesus seen him, there was a position that Zacchaeus was in. Because of where he was stuck at. Did Zacchaeus really have any choice about being short? Is this helping anybody? When you look at Zacchaeus, you begin to realize that everything about Zacchaeus' life was what everybody else had put on him. Oh, I hope this is helping you. Is this helping anybody? Watch this. And because of his short stature, and because there were so many people that hated him, they kept shoving him away from Jesus. Oh, let me just help everybody here. How many religious folks shoved you away? Oh, I wish I had my hanky right now. How many religious folks said, you know what, you're not worth wasting time on. You're nothing but a troublemaker. You're nothing but a drunk. You're nothing but an alcoholic. You're nothing but a beater. You're nothing but just trash. You know where you came from, and you're just a druggie. And, okay, there's many of us in here. Everybody that was religious just take their nose and they... And they kept shoving you away. And can I just speak to everybody in here? Are you ready? You're sitting in the seat tonight because you didn't let people shove you away. You decided, I got to see Jesus one way or the other. So I'll go to a church that has Jesus in it, or I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to find Jesus. I got to find him because I can't be away from him. I've heard about him. I've seen what he does. I know what he can do. And I just got to see him with my own eyes. And that's what caused you, on the day that you went to him, you begin to see him face to face. You pressed. How many of you pressed? Be truthful with me. How many of you pressed? You know where you were, and you know what you was in the middle of, and you know all your friends still wanted you to go out. Oh, I ain't saying nothing up in this house. All your friends still wanted to call you back out into the mess. Come on. You know you need to come back out with us again. You know all that church life ain't for you. They wear all them hats, and they dress up, and they ain't got all this. You got to sit down, stand up, do calisthenics with pastor. And then they leave you alone for a little while. Well, I wish Tyrone was in here. They leave you alone for a little while because they figured out, you know what, maybe this thing's creeped on them hard enough. And they give you a little while, and then they call you up about the time you're going through something. The devil is a liar. Don't you realize by now they ain't going to call you until you're in the middle of a funk? Ain't nobody going to reach out to you. And listen, there's even people that you came away from, and I don't care if they're religious or sinful. The enemy will plant them in your life to make sure you get a phone call right at that moment. Oh, Pastor, you preaching. That's because I've been there about 15 times in my life. So he goes running down the road, and he's looking around. He's going, I got to see this Jesus. I got to see this Jesus. And he remembers as a kid, he was always short. You know what I'll do? I'm going to find me a tree to climb. I wonder why Tavante loves trees so much. Every time I look, the boy's in a tree. I mean, he's like a monkey outside the church. I mean, one of these days, I'm going to have big oak trees in our church just so I can put one spot up there and put a tree house and put Tavante's name on the front of it. At least then I know it'd be safe. Hello? Zacchaeus began to climb up that tree, just hoping for a glimpse of the Messiah. No. Can I speak to the church for a minute? Everybody here, listen to me. Watch me. Listen. There's a lot of people who sit on the sidelines and want to party when Jesus comes by. They want to be up in the middle of the hallelujahs and the dances, and they want to be in the Jericho March, and they want to be in all of those different things. But they're not the ones who's really have an expectancy of Jesus speaking to them. It's the Zacchaeuses that'll say, I'm getting past what you're doing, and I'm getting up into the tree where I can see him, and I think for maybe just one hopeful instance, he can see me. Can I help you? Can I help you real quick? If Zacchaeus would have stayed in the background, Jesus would have kept right on walking. See, many of us in here, we thinking that Jesus is going to stop. I better leave that alone. Because a lot of us expect Jesus to stop. When you look through the New Testament, you find that everyone that got something from Jesus had to come to him. The woman with the issue of blood, she sat in the background way too long to the point she said, I don't care if they stomp me to death. I just got to touch the hem of his garment. All I got to do is just reach out and grab a hold of that mantle. The same mantle he laid aside because he loves you. The same mantle that when she touched it, it healed her instantly, that Jesus laid aside because he loved you and wanted to.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.